In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. As we look at Mark's Gospel, the Gospel of Mark, we see some things that are very, very interesting. Jesus does things immediately. Oh, immediately he does this, and immediately he does that. You know why? Because Mark is headed toward the cross. He wrote, first of all, about the cross, and then the rest of it was added afterwards. I'm telling you that Mark loved the cross. He loved what Jesus did on the cross. And we need to love the cross. The cross of Jesus. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world. Now, Mark, not only has Jesus doing things immediately, but he sees that his disciples should be doing things also. Yes, because there was a great storm at sea, and the waves beat the boat, and Jesus was asleep on a pillow, and they woke him up, and Jesus rebuked the wind and said, "Peace, be still." Then he said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" They could have done it themselves. I remember a long time ago, I was a little boy. I was at Wareham, and the next day we were going to be going home. And that was always a very sad day for me. But anyway, the sea was really a river. The river was very choppy, very, very choppy. And I said, Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can tell the sea to be quiet. I didn't know the Bible. I just knew some of the principles. So I stood up on a little boat, which was not in the water, and I said to the sea, "Be still in the name of Jesus." And you know what? It just quieted down, and I ran upstairs to the house because I was scared stiff that this really happened. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. It happened. And I had no one to teach me that, you know, these things are normal. Signs and wonders are normal to those who believe. If a hurricane is headed toward your land, you have the right to declare to the hurricane to go out to sea and not to bother anybody. You see, this is our faith. Using our faith, the faith of a mustard seed, that we have the ability to do things that only we can do because of Jesus who lives in us. Let me just tell you this, my friends. We're going to be looking at a story which Mark must have loved very much because it's so long. It's not usually long. Mark's miracles aren't long, but this one is very long, and it was the raising of Jairus' daughter and heals the woman who had the issue of blood. And when Jesus passed over again by ship to the other side, many people gathered unto him. He was near the sea. Many people gather unto Jesus because Jesus was the free clinic of the day. They would just touch Jesus and faith and be healed. So people gathered around Jesus. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He besought Jesus greatly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray that you come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live." Oh, yes. But Jesus is going to tell us the same thing at the end of Mark. "You shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed." You see, what Jesus did, the church does in the Acts of the Apostles. And what the church, the early church, does in the Acts of the Apostles, we are called to do, because it's the same Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus went with Jairus, and many people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, she had woman trouble for 12 years. That meant she couldn't be part of the community. She had to be separated. And she had suffered many things from many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard that Jesus came by in the press behind, she touched his garment. Oh no, she not only touched his garment, she touched his garment in faith. There were many people that thronged Jesus, but this woman touched the garment of Jesus in faith, for she said, "If I just touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." And straightway, the issue of blood dried up, and she felt it in her body, and she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that healing virtue had gone out of him, he turned around to the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Oh, how could you know? How could you know? There are so many people, so many people. But there was one lady that touched his clothes with faith. And his disciples said unto him, "You know there's a multitude thronging against you. How can you say who touched me?" And he looked around and about to see her and what had done to her. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her came through Jesus. And he said unto her, "Daughter, your faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." And she was healed of the whole experience. I'm telling you, touching Jesus in faith. When people come to me, I declare faith. Yesterday, someone had a headache for over 2 weeks. And I declared, in the name of Jesus, by the power of his blood, this headache is healed. In the name of Jesus, by the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel, this headache is healed. So I prayed with him 3 or 4 times, and guess what? He left the house without the headache, because Jesus said, declare healings. Declare them, even if they're not being seen. Declare healings. That shows your faith. And you know what? If he wasn't healed, I couldn't do anything about it. But I'm telling you, what I could do was to declare healing, that his headache was healed. I could do that. And as a matter of fact, I did that. And as a matter of fact, he was healed. While Jesus yet spoke, there came from the ruler's house of the synagogue people saying, "Your daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Today, Jesus tells you, do not be afraid, only believe. Fear will get you no place. Faith will get you every place. Don't be afraid today. Jesus will be with you, because he's in you. Don't be afraid, only believe. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe. All things are possible, Lord, I believe. Don't be afraid, he said to the synagogue's ruler, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he heard a tumult. They were all weeping and wailing greatly. And when he came in, he said unto them, Why do you make this noise? And why are you weeping? The young girl is not dead. She is sleeping. Listen to the next line. And they laughed him to scorn. They could not have been grieving very well, because they go from crying to laughing. They sound like paid people who are paid to grieve. And they started laughing when Jesus said, She's only asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he took the father and mother and the little girl with them that were with him, and entered into the place where the little girl was lying. And he took the little girl by hand and said to her, Talithi, Talitha cum, which is interpreted, I say unto you, arise. And straightway the young girl arose and walked, for she was of age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them strictly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Oh, I remember the story of the woman who came to me. She was a young girl with her father. She had anorexia. And this anorexia had made her as thin as a skeleton. And all my talking couldn't convince her to eat. So what I did was I got the Bible. And I said, we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God to give you a word that comes from God. You open the book and you put your hand on the place. That's the only thing I could have done. And what did she turn to? Give her something to eat, this very passage. So I said to her, what do you like? She said, milkshakes, vanilla. I said to the father, go and buy a milkshake, a vanilla one for your daughter. God just told her to eat, and so she's going to eat. I'm telling you, I never heard from them again. You want to know why? Because the curse was broken. The curse was broken. You know, these people that think if they eat, they're going to get fat. Listen, eat well. Eat well. You don't have to think about being skinny or like Twiggy. It has nothing to do with your spiritual growth. Eat well. Eat well. Chapter 6 of Mark. And he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him, his own country. Now, what is the country that he comes from? He's from Nazareth. And when the Sabbath day had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many heard him. They were astonished, saying, Where did this man get these things? What wisdom is this which he is using? And what about the mighty works that are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and Judah and Simon? Are not all his sisters here with us? And they were offended at Jesus. I tell you, my friends, never be offended at Jesus. We saw that when there was going into the boat, they took Jesus in as he was. We want to receive Jesus as he is. We do not want to be offended at Jesus. We do not want to be ashamed of Jesus. You want to know why? If we are ashamed of Jesus, he will be ashamed of us. And so we continue. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could do no mighty work there, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them. I tell you, where there is faith, Jesus can heal. Where there is faith, Jesus can heal. They all said, Who is this man? He's the son of Joseph. He's the carpenter. We know him. He's nothing. They didn't have faith, so Jesus couldn't do very much in Nazareth. And Jesus marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the village teaching. Why does he teach? He teaches because faith comes by hearing the word of God. My friends, what Jesus did in the Gospels, Jesus continues to do to people who have faith. It's just like that. But you see, you've got to have faith. You've got to have faith. All you need is faith. Yeah, you've got to have faith. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus, that he is able to do this miracle through your hands. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. It's very interesting, you know. People just don't want to let go of their misery. I can understand that, because it's been so long that they've had this misery. So we pray for the grace to let go of the misery. We pray for the grace to let go of the misery. As I said yesterday, a lady came to me and we prayed with her, and she said, "It's no better. I've had it for 40 years. I said, 40 years is like 2 seconds in God's country. You see, she already made the decision that it wasn't going to happen. I don't tell them have faith. I just tell them to come up and be healed. That your coming up means you have faith. Your coming up means you have faith. And Jesus wants to heal you. Why does he want to heal you? Because that's what he's all about. He is a healing Lord. He is a good and awesome Jesus. He is the Lord who heals his people. Yes, that woman that touched him, power came out of Jesus. Why? Because she touched him with faith. Jesus marveled because of their unbelief in Nazareth. And he went round about the village teaching, villages teaching. And he called unto himself the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over demons, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but they should have sandals, and they should not have two coats. And he said unto them, "In what place you enter into a house, stay there, abide there, until you depart from that place. Whoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart, shake the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Truly I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Now I'm telling you, Jesus gives us this command that he sends them out two by two to cast out demons and to heal the sick. This is real. This is real. Jesus has not changed. Jesus has not changed. When you start seeing Jesus healing people, you know what happens? Your faith grows. I remember being at a service at Holy Rosary. It was on a Friday. We called it a miracle service. Every single person was healed. Now, there were not many people. There might have only been maybe 15 people, if there were 15 people. But I saw the Lord healing everyone there. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And they went out, the disciples, and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. I remember what happened many, many years ago when Father McNutt was conducting a healing seminar over the weekend. What happened is, in the middle of the Saturday evening, there were people at the door, and they were Native Americans, and they were Christians. So Father McNutt invited them in. And one of the Native Americans stood up and said, "How many of you people believe in Jesus?" They were priests. They all raised their hand. How many of you have seen the sick healed? And there was one or two. How can you believe in Jesus and not see the sick healed? They said. Oh, this was a message from heaven. This is a message from heaven. These Native Americans came to tell, how can you believe in Jesus and not see people healed? It all comes with the ticket. It all comes with the package called faith and baptism. This is so simple, but most people miss it because they think, well, you know, I'm not worthy for the Lord to heal me. I'm not worthy. I don't know too much. I'm stupid. I'm old. I'm this. And it has nothing to do with you. You're so centered upon yourself that nothing's going to happen. It has to do with Jesus who wants to heal. It has to do with Jesus who wants to touch people. Through you, you shall lay hands upon the sick, and you shall heal the sick. That's what Jesus says. And we've got to believe the reality of Jesus, that he calls us not only to proclaim his holy name, but to heal the sick and to cast out demons. When's the last time you healed the sick? I'm telling you, he gives us that power. He gives us that power. When's the last time you saw the sick healed? Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today. We talked about healing today. So today, I ask that through the blood of Jesus, you would heal throats today. That throats would be healed today. As I proclaim, in Jesus' name, throats, be healed by the blood that was shed at Calvary. Be healed by the blood that was shed at Calvary. Not only throats be healed, but rotary cuffs be healed now. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, rotary cuffs be healed in Jesus' name. Move those arms. See that the pain is gone. Rotary cuffs are healed in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, by the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. Oh, yes. Rotary cuffs are healed. Knees are healed. Oh, yes. Even my knees are healed in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Be healed now. Knees, rotary cuffs, throats, be healed now in Jesus' name. I call those things to be now that are not as if they are, and they are by grace. Be healed in the name of Jesus. One more. Stomachs be healed. Put your hand on your stomach. Be healed of stomachs and be healed of liver problems. No more tumors or lesions on the liver. Be healed in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. I celebrated the Mass for you today, Sophie. Be healed of all this stuff in your liver. Be healed by the blood of Jesus, by the power of the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. Now let's make an act of faith. I believe, and I receive, and I receive this miracle, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, by the power of his precious blood, by the power of his precious blood. What have we learned today? God wants to use us. God wants to use us. And it takes only a little bit of faith, like that woman had. If I only can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. There was a whole crowd that were around Jesus, and she was the only one that was healed because she had faith. I'm going to invite you to our conference called the School of the Holy Spirit between July 20th and 26th. The School of the Holy Spirit. We are going to create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in power. Yes, I will be there, and Maria Vadia will be there, and other people will be there, and we will proclaim the gospel of healing, of deliverance, of joy. Please, please come for some days at least, July 20th to the 26th. Maybe you cannot come every day, but you could come for 2 or 3 days. Come. Holy Rosary Church is on Shirley Street, 1015 Shirley Street, Winthrop, Massachusetts. 1015 Shirley Street, Winthrop, Massachusetts. And I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our May bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Lord, heal your people. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Healing is for you. Hear it again. Healing is for you in the name of Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.